I will welcome in Todd Furman from DonBestSports.com in the luxurious city of Las Vegas, Nevada. And the NBA Finals go to Game 4 tonight. Has anyone found LeBron yet? Is he going to play?
I'm wondering if LeBron is somewhere in a sand trap outside of Oklahoma where you left your golf game earlier this morning.
Hey, I did leave it in the trap. You're right. Todd, is it as simple as that's just really about as poorly as Miami's played during the playoffs and San Antonio has a game in which their role players hit a bunch of shots and so the game gets out of control? I mean, I've tried to convince the listeners here over the last couple of days that I think that the Heat win tonight. I just think that they have to play better. They've always bounced back well after losses.
It's real interesting. When you look at the way that Game 3 went, obviously Gary Neal and Parker stepped up and played extremely well. You look at Danny Green doing what he did from beyond the arc, and Miami seemed to have no answers. They put together that double-digit run late in the first half, which the Spurs promptly answered to go into the break up 6. But what we've seen so far, Mark, on the game tonight is an awfully strong line move towards Miami. The Spurs opened up as a 1.5, 2-point favorite at most of the shops on our DonBest screen. You're now seeing Miami as pretty much a 1-point favorite everywhere. Now, there's a number of reasons that could be the case, whether it's speculation about how healthy Tony Parker is, despite the fact Greg Popovich said he'll play and go at about 90 to 95%, or the fact that the rumor mill on Twitter talking about how Scott Foster and his NBA officiating crew may have a nice impact to make sure we get a prolonged series between these two teams.
Boy, those are a lot of good theories. I like it. How much do you think, I'm asking you to speculate here on specifically, but how much does Parker's injury have to do with it?
Parker's injury, if Parker is ruled out, he's about a 3.5 to 4-point adjustment. So that's what you're seeing now. And I think the betting market is jumping out, getting ahead. I mean, let's be honest here, though. Anyone that was relatively sharp and wanted to lock in the best number possible, they grabbed Miami at +2 as soon as that number opened. The people now that are kind of latching on, chasing the steam, so to speak, are taking the worst of the number. So if you're laying Miami -1, knowing you could have had +2 in your back pocket, you're probably much better served to wait for an in-game opportunity or even halftime if the Spurs come out and play a great 24 minutes to start.
Interesting. Any props on tonight's game that you like, that you've seen?
You know what? It's real tricky because you don't know how San Antonio is going to play the game, so you can't really look at anybody on that side of the ball. And Tony Parker's clearly been left out of all the props. Books don't want to create any liability there. When you look on the other side, you have to imagine LeBron James is going to come back with a vengeance, but he hasn't exactly been the dynamic offensive player / MVP we've grown accustomed to throughout this regular season that tonight. I think when you're looking at LeBron, you'll try and figure out points, rebounds, assists. That number will be in the high 30s. Beyond that, I really can't make sense of what to expect in the game tonight. It makes it real tough to try and attack the prop market with any level of confidence.
It's been kind of a free-for-all in the first half and low scoring in the second half for the most part. Only one game's gone over in the series, Game 3, right?
Yep, only one. Game 3 did go over. You're correct. I'm thinking one game ahead. But you look at this total, too. It did open 188.5. Number's been bet down to 186.5. And again, we come back to the $100 million question, the health of Tony Parker. I do think, though, under probably would be the way to look. Miami's going to have to make a much more concerted effort on the defensive end. Hopefully that spurs some of their offense. Also, don't foresee the Spurs putting up 110-plus and bombing away from beyond the arc.
I agree. If the line opens up for next season right now, let's say San Antonio wins this series, which I don't think is going to happen, but if they do win this series, where will the Thunder sit next year in terms of winning an NBA title?
Thunder right now, actually, for some of the odds that are already up, you're looking at the Thunder at 9-2. They're listed directly behind the Heat. I was surprised that the Heat opened up at 7-4, +175, meaning you put up $1 on the Heat, it'll return you $1.75. From the Thunder, the drop-off is to the Bulls and Spurs, both teams listed at 7-1. Then you get into that next tier of teams highlighted by the Pacers, Clippers, Grizzlies, Knicks, Lakers, Nuggets, Warriors, Rockets, all in that 15-25-1 range. The one team I was surprised that books opened up as low as they did were the Rockets. I was actually hoping to get them at 40-1, 25-1. Can't see a whole lot of value there.
You think they're going to get Dwight Howard?
Even if they don't get Dwight Howard, I think they have enough pieces there, and they're going to go out and be aggressive enough in the free agent market. I'm just not sure Dwight Howard really puts them over the top, considering the liability he's become. But you talk about Dwight and his tarnished legacy. If he catches on somewhere else, he really has to up his game, and I think you're going to get a focused, concerted effort out of him. Otherwise, he really just becomes another big man, and all this promise about being one of the elite players of his generation really gets thrown out the window.
Has there been any adjustments to the opening football lines at the Nugget?
There has been some strong movement. Surprisingly enough, the one team that has attracted quite a bit of attention, two teams, I should say, the Iowa Hawkeyes, for whatever reason, a lot of the professionals have gravitated towards betting them as prohibitive underdogs in a lot of their contests, talking about, you know, 8, 9, 10-point dogs at home at Kinnick, where they've typically had, you know, a real good track record under Kirk Ferentz. The other team is actually right in your backyard in the Big 12, TCU, garnering a lot of attention from the professionals, both as a favorite, as an underdog. One of the biggest moves on the board was actually for their contest against Oklahoma, where they were bet down from a 9.5-point dog all the way down to 7.5.
They got a good defense, man. They got a quarterback that can play. I mean, that was what they were missing a year ago.
Their defensive backfield should be amongst one of the top five in the country. The real question, you know, how they handle the loss on the D line, and if we're going to see Casey Paul-Hall as their starting quarterback, which I imagine we will. One other note, though, Mark, people must have been listening when you talked about Oklahoma having value at a pick 'em against Texas. Texas now a 1.5-point favorite. So the fade Mark Rogers hashtag trending all over Twitter and people taking full advantage of it, even out here in the desert.
I think that's ridiculous. Texas has got to prove it on the field, man. They got to prove it on the field. We had Kirk Ferentz on earlier in the week.
How optimistic did he sound about the team he's putting together in Iowa City?
No, he was good. It was a good interview. I mean, he was a good guest. I would say that. I mean, I don't want to act like I'm giving myself, you know, pat myself on the back too much, but no, he was good. I mean, I think that he is a guy that, you know, has had some tough seasons there every once in a while, but usually gets the most out of his team.
He definitely does. The real thing, though, that's impacted them is the recruiting has been down, and as you watch the overall level of play upgrade throughout the Big Ten, Iowa just doesn't seem to be able to recruit the athletes, especially at the quarterback position and some of the other skill spots. It's real tough to go out there and grind out 21-17 wins week in, week out. You look at the Big Ten, obviously at the top, it seems like Michigan and Ohio State, though, will be a cut above everybody else, and that second-tier teams. Maybe Iowa can step in there amongst the Michigan States, the Northwesterns of the world, before you really look at the bottom of the barrel, highlighted probably by Illinois, who most are pegging to be dead last in that conference.
I do think that there's some value. I mean, TCU got a good chance to win the Big 12 if they can keep their quarterback healthy.
I think they're definitely a team that, when you look at futures to win the conference, warrants some long consideration. The real challenge for them is that daunting schedule. Most of their losable games come away from M.G. Carter Stadium. The other team, though, that I was surprised to see attracting so much national attention in a lot of the college football annuals, Baylor. A lot of people have them in the top 20, thinking that Art Briles will have his best team both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, calling this linebacking core one of the most underrated units anywhere in the country.
Yeah, it's not bad. I can see that. They definitely have a good running back, that's for sure. All right, no, you just tagged me, hashtag me on Twitter. What is the EDC?
That is the Electric Daisy Carnival next weekend. It's the largest techno music festival that we'll have out here in Las Vegas for the calendar year. Most of the acts go on stage about 11 o'clock at night. They'll play the overnight all the way till 8 or 9 in the morning up at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I figured that was where you'd meet your biggest fans out here in the Las Vegas market, and you'd fit in perfectly.
The Electronic Daisy Festival.
Exactly. It's all techno electronic music, some of the biggest names in the industry. They'll probably attract a crowd of about 250 to 300,000 people.
What?
Trying to get into the Las Vegas Motor Speedway for this event. Just to put in perspective, you want your famous pool cabanas at any of the day clubs here. Saturday and Sunday, the starting rate, about $5,000 a pop.
Is Deadmau5 going to be there?
You know what? I actually haven't looked at the entire music lineup. Not exactly my scene. I'd be much more prone to spend my money and head further west to go to Coachella, see a little country music instead of the EDC.
No question. I probably pass on that. I'd be okay without being at the pool. Anything going on in the NFL? Who are the favorites right now?
Right now, you're looking at Denver still, the clear favorite amongst everybody else at 6-1. But you're going to have a number of teams that are bunched up there as well. When you talk about the likes of the Patriots, the 49ers actually have not seen a drop. The Seahawks, though, seem to be the one team that the public really wants to rally around, although I remain skeptical amid all this Adderall controversy and some of the comments that their players are making. I don't think there's a whole lot of value in the Seahawks at 7-1. You look at that next tier, though, Packers 12-1, Texans 12-1, Falcons at 14-1, and then you get into the 20s with the Saints, the Giants, and the Steelers all in that 20-25-1 range.
Was there any movement in the U.S. Open lines? Anybody, Tiger get bet down? I mean, how prohibitive a favorite was he?
Tiger, it was actually the only favorite going into the Open listed in single digits. He was listed. He ended up closing at 5-1 at the larger offshore shops. The next closest to him anywhere in there was actually 20-1, and then you had a huge group of golfers in there highlighted by the likes of Lee Westwood, Justin Rose, Luke Donald, etc. But there were some pretty strong moves in a lot of these matchups. You look at some of the golfers that they were looking to go against. Graham McDowell seemed to be the popular fade play for a lot of the sharper betting public.
How little value are you getting if you bet Tiger at 5-1 to win a golf tournament?
What's funny about it is most of the guys that handicap golf seriously were trying to wait and see if Tiger got to 6-1. That was their buy point. But the thing about a course, specifically the U.S. Open as a tournament, you're much better served to kind of wait, see how the first round or two go, knowing that this course is going to play soft and there's going to be some low scores. The most interesting thing, though, that came out of some of the early betting, Bovada offered a prop that will the low score be 63 or below. They hung a price at 25-1 on that. That price was bet all the way down to 6-1 before being pulled off the board. Most of the books ended up closing that prop at 63.5 at even money. So if you were able to lock in low score at 63 or below at 25-1, you beat the market by a considerable amount and had some nice value working in your favor.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Well, I guess because of the rain, people are thinking that the course is going to be soft, and it's short. So, wow.
That's the whole thing, and that's been a lot of the feedback, that if you keep the ball on the fairways, especially with length not a consideration, you can stay out of the rough, that there will be some crooked numbers, especially as the rain continues to pound the course throughout today and through much of the weekend. It looks like, though, for the most part, this tournament will probably end up getting pushed back to Monday until we can crown a champion.
Well, I think Dead Mouse is probably off doing some kind of crazy internet, stuff we probably shouldn't talk about on the radio because he's not going to be at the EDC this weekend, according to the lineup. But
Calvin Harris. That's what I was going to say. Is Calvin Harris the highlighter for the lineup? I figured you would be doing your due diligence over there as you also are on Expedia trying to plan your trip.
Calvin Harris is the only one I think I know. That's just, that's not my genre. I'm losing credibility right now as we speak. Todd, good to talk to you. Have fun at the EDC.
It is always a pleasure, and I don't think I'll be making it, but if I do, I'll make sure I tweet out some recognizable pictures, and we'll have a little fun with it.
Yeah, I want to report. Todd Furman with DonBestSports.com. We are out of time for hour number one. Hour number two is straight ahead.